Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. Got Ziggy Rodriguez here with me.
That's me.
And Tom isn't with us. He's napping, which is, you know, he's a growing boy. He needs his naps. Yes. Otherwise, he's cranky.
Oh, he's napping, you know,
right over there on the couch. Yeah, so we're glad he's getting his sleep. But in his stead, sitting at his microphone, well, we got a great guest, and this is George Nixon. He is the Executive Director of Catholic Charities of West Tennessee. George, welcome to the luxurious corner booth.
It's so great to be here. I love sitting in this cafe. It just feels so warm and cozy.
That's exactly right. Let's just warm up his coffee. Let's give him another refill of our virtual coffee. It's the best coffee ever, by the way. And so, George, we thought we'd ask you in because we find ourselves in the Lenten season. Seems like we've been here before, right, Ziggy? I mean, we do this every year, and there's a reason I think the church has these liturgical seasons that we apparently, you know, are going to repeat until Jesus comes back, right? And there's a great gift in remembering, just like we have anniversaries and birthdays and important events that happened in our life that we want to remember every year. In the same way, the church recognizes that we need to do certain things at certain times a year to prepare ourselves. That's why we celebrate Easter every year. But if we're going to celebrate Easter, we need to understand the suffering and the death part before the resurrection. So we're going to have this Lenten season in preparation. And one of the neat things about Lent that we always talk about, we always get the homilies, George, about the prayer, the fasting, and the almsgiving, right? Mm. The three sort of methodologies of penitence that are traditional to Lent. Mm. Lots of great homilies about that, and I think most of us understand prayer pretty well. I mean, we might need to be reminded, certainly, but we all kind of get the idea of praying, and we all kind of get the idea of fasting because everybody talks about, you know, the fasting and also the abstinence that comes, like no cheeseburgers on Fridays and this fasting thing. Like, and then it was like, well, now what are the exact rules? People really focus on that stuff. But I don't know that people talk a lot about almsgiving, right? In fact, honestly, except for during Lent, you never hear that word. Mm. You never hear alms.
That's true.
Right? You never hear the word. It's like this foreign word. And interesting, you know, you look at the etymology of the word alms and giving of alms, and basically it comes, there's some old English roots to it, but there's also the Latin roots that it basically is to have pity or mercy, right? Mm. And you stop and think about that. I know as a little kid, the first time I think I heard that word, it was either me or my brother said, like, what, giving of arms? It's like we're almsgiving. And, you know, out of the mouths of babes,
right?
This idea that we give our arms, that, like, if we're gonna offer somebody mercy, right, what are we going to do? We're going to give them a bear hug, you know? And it's like, let's offer our arms. But also, I know in the Catholic Charities world, the idea of giving service, the idea of giving yourself, your time, your talent, and being present, especially to those who are most in need, wherever you are, there's a Catholic Charities wherever you are.
Yeah, for sure.
Whatever diocese you have, there's a Catholic Charities or some arm of that in which you can give your arms in service. Now, George, you're fairly new to this Executive Director of Catholic Charities of West Tennessee position for the Diocese of Memphis. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came into this position.
Sure, yeah. So I came to Catholic Charities of West Tennessee back this past October. So I'm a baby executive director, you might say, just kind of getting my feet wet. And my attraction to this position, I wasn't working for Catholic Charities previously, but my attraction to the position was really, first and foremost, I guess kind of selfishly for me. I was at this point in my own spiritual journey where I realized, you know, I'm just not focused on the love of others the way that I think the gospel is calling me to be. It was a little bit shocking, you know. I would have said, "Yeah, hey, I'm a good Catholic. I know my faith. I know my catechism. I know, you know what I mean. I go to Mass on Sunday. Like I've got it down." But you read the gospel enough and you start to realize, actually, this thing is about love.
Wait, you've read the gospel?
Yeah.
Man,
yeah, I know.
You've got a leg up on the competition. You must be studying for the big test.
Right, exactly.
Congratulations. Yeah. No, seriously, we hear it all the time. I mentioned time, talent, and there's also time, talent, treasure. We hear the stories in the Bible. We hear the Good Samaritan story. We hear all these different things that help us to know that it's not just about believing.
Mm.
That effectively, if we believe, we're called to act upon that belief, right? Otherwise, it's not really faith if you're not acting on it, as James will tell us. And so, you felt maybe in your life that you really weren't connected in that way?
Yeah, I just think that I realized that unconditional love, right? I've been thinking a lot about the parable of the Good Samaritan recently. I mean, it says he's moved with compassion, right? He's just moved with compassion, which means it just came naturally for him. It just came out of him. It wasn't that he thought, oh, this, you know, he didn't reason through, like, this is the right thing to do, and this is what it says in the scriptures. And he was just automatic response to that person lying on the side of the road. And I realized, you know, I don't necessarily have that. You know, as embarrassed as I was, it's like that I would probably be more intellectual about it. Like, well, what does it say? What should I do? And I realized that I need some transformation. I need something. And I saw that service really was the way to go. And so I was looking for a job, looking for a position, and I thought, you know, I need something that's service-oriented. And I was looking to move south. I was living in Rhode Island at the time, and Catholic Charities popped up in Memphis, and I thought, this would be amazing. And
right. Now, you do have an MBA in, like, nonprofit management. So you're
right.
Kind of been in that space before, but not necessarily with Catholic Charities.
Yeah, not as necessarily like a faith-based, you know, nonprofit like that. Yeah.
So this is, you've had an interest in serving the common good, right, through nonprofit work, but in terms of actually it being an exercise of faith, where your work is a fruit of prayer, you're answering a call from God, you're stepping forward out in faith, right? That is the sort of the newness of the moment here, right?
For sure, 100%. In my previous role, I was doing a lot of leadership development, and I found myself trying to work in elements of faith or elements of belief, but kind of couched in secular terms so that I could kind of sneak them in, you know?
That's just stealth. Jesus.
Yeah, because there's a lot in the gospel that really is about personal growth and success and leadership. You know, there's a lot there that the corporate world could learn from. But I found like it wasn't enough. I wanted to be more overt in my kind of leadership and spirituality. So all of that came together. My need to grow and then my need to really express that in my work all came together.
And so now you're helping the folks specifically in the Catholic Diocese of Memphis in Tennessee. But through Catholic Charities, you also, in terms of like, this thing for you, this personal voyage for you, you're also trying to help like all the folks that work with you in this great ministry. You're trying to help them, I think, see the same thing or see this as an exercise of faith rather than a job.
Right, exactly. When I think of Catholic Charities, I worry that people see it as like the Ronald McDonald House, like this kind of like...
Which is not bad, by the way.
No, I'm not putting down the Ronald McDonald House, but it's, you know, it's kind of this add-on to McDonald's, right? Like if the Ronald McDonald House went away, the core business of McDonald's would stay the same. Nothing would change. I don't feel like that's the same for Catholic Charities. Catholic Charities went away, something core to the expression of the church in the world would disappear. And so I want people to see that. Right, and something that I want the faithful to really be proud of, feel like it belongs to them, and feel like this is the place where I can live out that gospel, where I can live out the gospel of love of my neighbor,
and also to grow,
100%.
Right? Because it's a lot of people don't realize. Well, I'll say it this way: I have learned really in a beautiful way how being involved in ministry. And I tell people this all the time. They kind of like, yeah, I don't believe you. But it's like I end up getting more out of it than I give. And I think that's the sign of a bountiful ministry, right?
Right.
That because you're tapping into God's creation, right? And God creates something out of nothing, or something good out of something bad. And what you start to realize is that like all of those positive fruits, all that good stuff has to go somewhere, and you actually benefit 100%. From being part of that. And if you can get people in your organization to see that, then there's like a whole new, I guess, emphasis on doing what they do and why they do it, and then really it gets the word out, and it becomes a successful endeavor, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. I think successful is a big part of it, too. I mean, one of the things that I talk about with my staff is, you know, if we show up almost like vending machines of service, right? Like we just put vending machines on our front porch to feed the hungry, and we put, you know, kind of like a online portal where you could just do your case management.
Which, as a baseline, is good. It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. It's like, yeah. Fine. But it, so you're just providing the service. But if you show up with compassion, right, that a vending machine can't have or an online portal can't have, your decision-making is going to be different. How you see that person, how that person responds to you. I see this with my kids all day long, right? That when I can say the right parental thing, like the thing that says in the book to say, right? Like, but if I say it with a kind of like, oh, like there is a kind of a, almost like a that say almost like aggression or something behind it. Like I'm just...
It's passion, yeah, and it's from your heart.
Yeah, yeah. But if I'm saying it with that kind of compassion, it doesn't really matter the words, right? It's being communicated that I love, that I value you. So it really comes from within. And that, as you're saying, is the reward. It leads to the success in what we're trying to do. It makes it easier for someone to have that experience of transformation when there's someone that's seeing them as valuable. But also for our own transformation, our own faith journey, our own, you know, pursuit of heaven, when our hearts are transformed that way, like for me, that's the greatest benefit of working at Catholic Charities. Like we have a great, you know, 403B plan, we have a great, all these great benefits, but if you want the real benefit, it's that this is a place where your heart can be transformed so that you're prepared for heaven.
I think I counted 16 times he mentioned the word transformed. And yeah, I think that's beautiful because a lot of people don't always see things that way. They see that we're fulfilling needs, that we're basically, we're basically putting cans of green beans into a box for somebody who needs food, which is great.
Right.
Again, that's as a baseline, that's absolutely necessary. Mm-hmm. It's a functioning part of what you're doing.
Right.
But the transformation, I mean, so much of our faith teaches us about metanoia, teaches us about change. And that you mean, even from the very beginning of Ash Wednesday, repent and believe in the gospel, the idea that we need to change, you know, like the prodigal son, we need to turn. Mm-hmm. Right. And so these are opportunities we have when we encounter those who have a greater need, those who are really on the margins.
Mm-hmm.
Help us to know a little bit, George, about like the population that you're serving and maybe some of what your vision is. Like you come into Catholic Charities of West Tennessee, and this is going to be true for all Catholic charities and charitable organizations. You've got to assess like, all right, what has the Lord given me as my sort of field of operation here? What have you assessed and looked at and go like, we got to tackle this issue. We got to prioritize this. Mm-hmm. Give us some insight about what you see there.
Yeah, sure. So it is going to be different for every Catholic Charities. Basically, you look around you as you're saying, you say, okay, what's the situation, and then what's the response? What do we need to do? In Memphis, where we're based, there's two issues that are primary in my mind. One is homelessness. It's a major issue for us. And then the other issue is food insecurity. There are a lot of food deserts, especially when you get out into the rural counties.
Food deserts. I haven't heard that expression.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, so I hadn't heard it either until I started working Catholic Charities.
Awesome.
But a food desert is somewhere where a large geographical area where there's not... a major grocery store where you can get fresh food. Usually you end up going to like Dollar Tree or somewhere else and you get kind of these canned goods or whatever that's not necessarily the most nutritious. So it ends up kind of just creating ill health because there's not access to fresher foods.
Right.
So there's a lot of that, especially when you get out to the rural counties, which we're also, you know, chartered to support. So those are the major areas that I think that we're attentive to. And for homelessness, it's really our focus is either helping people get off the streets or catching them before they fall in. So it's either helping them with case management to get into housing, get the wraparound supports that they need, or other ways that we can offset expenses so that if you are housed, you can continue to pay for your mortgage or your rent or your utilities, that kind of thing. So we provide food and clothing and baby needs, anything we can do to help keep you
and help
off.
With bills too, if mm-hmm. that's become cumbersome to them.
For sure, 100%.
I would imagine it's a very, very complex issue as well.
It
is. Because there's a political aspect to homelessness.
There is.
Right, yep. Because it gets bandied about by Republicans and Democrats and everyone in between, and so it becomes a political issue. And then I think a lot of people might have opinions that are formed without necessarily even encountering the homeless and getting to know the homeless. You and where Catholic Charities of West Tennessee is located, you're kind of in the middle of some areas that where you get to encounter a lot of folks.
For sure, of all walks, you know, all walks of life, right? And I would say, as far as the complexity, you know, I think what's great is bringing this from faith. It's really simple, right? Jesus, he says, to those who ask, give. In my mind, whenever I get kind of caught up with, like, should we give to this one and not that, I'm like, what?
Right.
Who am I to judge who's more worthy and less worthy? And I don't know. I can't know. I don't know the future. I don't know if I gave to this one what they would do with it, or I gave to that one they would. All I know is if you're asking me and if you're first. You know what I mean? And if I have it, I'll give it to you. I try to keep it that simple.
I'll be honest with you. That's a very refreshing take on it, and very simple. And that's why I mentioned the word complex, because we can complex ourselves out of doing anything, right? Think like, well, if I do this, it's just going to open up this can of worms, right. And this is going to create that problem, and I should be really used more discretion here and whatever, when in fact, I don't think the Lord ever turned anyone away in whatever state or condition they were in. Had some good words for them and some challenges perhaps for some, you know, go and sin no more and things like that. But obviously when we encounter, especially people who are in dire need, it can be a little, well, I don't want to give money to that person because they're going to end up spending it on this or they're going to do that. I understand the challenges in that, but if you're operating from the principle that you just described, your first inclination is to give.
Right.
And I guess we can temper how we, or at least discern how we give and to what degree and things like that. But I think also and I'm not talking about you in this George. I'm talking about myself and people like me who aren't day-to-day on the front lines. And so I think we need to trust those who are on the front lines a little more. And that's kind of where you guys come in.
I think so. I think we're a little different. You know, if you're looking for what's the best practice in the sense of, like, what's the most effective? How do you parse, you know, this person versus that person? Should it be the person that, you know, has a job, we're not those people. Yeah, I'm not interested in that. Point blank, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in showing up. If someone shows up on my front porch and needs something, if I have it, I give it to them. Beyond that, I honestly think I don't have the intellectual capacity to judge. I don't think God asks me to judge. I don't think he's asking me to figure out whether this person deserves it and that person doesn't. I think just point blank capacity wise, we don't have that ability. So that, I think it's almost egotism to think that we do. You know?
Yeah. Very good.
Well, and something that you and I were talking in a previous conversation, you mentioned the principle that you guys use is house first, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that is interesting because it kind of relates to this as well, where we've got there's a lot of different factors that are involved in why a person either is not in a home or is at risk of becoming homeless. And yet, you know, rather than saying, oh, we need this person to audition for us and to show that they've got the right set of factors that make it where we're going to be successful in the long run in working with this person. It's like, hey, this person, they need a house. We've got this house available, you know, whether it's through a grant or might make that house available. Get them in the house and then deal with the factors to the best that you can.
Right.
And I think that there's a lot of wisdom in that, also just from us as an almsgiving, because what I'm hearing in my heart is that almsgiving, it's not just, you know, you're checking off a box and you're giving, you know, money. You're giving of yourself.
Yeah, mercy and pity. I mean, that's where the roots of that alms. Yeah.
To another person, and you're meeting that need first.
Right.
You're not trying to figure it out first.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And if I can tag on to the prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, you know, to me, almsgiving is third for a reason, right? There's prayer, which turns your heart to God, right? Your source of life, right? Source of inspiration, who you're ultimately trying to be with, right? Fasting is meant to kind of detach you from the world a little bit, to kind of break you free from your attachments. And then almsgiving is an act of charity, which really should flow out of the other two. If you're praying, if you're looking to God and He's filling your heart with the Holy Spirit, and if you're detaching from the world, then that, as I said, the Good Samaritan, he's moved with compassion. That almsgiving should just flow out of that, right? It should just come naturally. It's not another form of fasting, like, oh, I'm also giving up my money. No, Or I'm also giving up my time this Lent. No, that's not it. It's supposed to be an act of charity. You already gave up something else, right, or other things.
Right.
Like, you've already worked on detachment. We're not also asking you now to detach from your money. We're asking that because you've done these other things, you should see yourself naturally wanting to give up yourself, your time, your talent, and your treasure. And so that's where I see Catholic Charities as being essential to the local church, is that it's that expression. You know, if we're doing our job in preaching and celebrating the sacraments, then these acts of charity should naturally flow out.
Beautiful. And we're talking to George Nixon, who is the executive director of Catholic Charities of West Tennessee. And so you just mentioned, like, this natural flowing out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would kind of lead us to the concept of volunteers. And you guys don't do everything by yourselves.
Hardly.
In fact, you can't do everything by yourselves because there's too much everything. There's too much stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is necessary. So part of your job, I think, is it not to get to elicit help from the neighborhood, as it were?
Yeah, it, absolutely. So just to put it in context, we have about 30 employees. And we served over 55,000 people last year, right? We couldn't do that with 30 employees. We had 2,400 volunteers. And volunteers, I got to tell you, is one of the best part of my job, right? When I get to be around volunteers, my heart just fills with joy.
See, you get something out of it.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. But it's them, because they show up just because. They show up just to love people. They don't show up for a paycheck. They don't show up for, you know, building their resume, whatever it is, you know what I mean? And I'm putting down my staff at all, but we're professional caregivers, right? Which there's temptations in that or troubles in that, right? For the volunteer, they're just showing up in charity. And it just fills my heart with joy to be around them, to work with them. And they remind me of what spirit I'm supposed to be bringing, right? This is how I'm supposed to be responding. Yes, I'm going home with a paycheck at the end of the week, right? But I'm supposed to be responding in charity every day. So yeah, volunteers are critical, not only because they help us do what we need to do. I think it's like the equivalent of like 10 full-time employees, what our volunteers have given us. But because they remind us of who we're meant to be, right? They call us to deeper conversion, I think.
I think humbling and transformative again when you experience, like, the volunteers that come and do that, because they have so many other things they're supposed to be doing, right? There's so many other, you know, I's to dot and T's to cross in our lives. And then when we carve out a part of our existence to, like, give to others, I mean, ultimately, that's the ultimate gift, right? That's the ultimate thing that we can give.
What we're called to be, yeah, it's who we're called to be.
Yeah. So how does a person go about, like, getting involved? Do they contact you guys, or how does that work?
Yeah. So I know you have listeners all over the place. So I mean, you would just look for your local Catholic Charities. If you happen to be in West Tennessee, Memphis area, or elsewhere, it's ccwtn.org.
ccwtn.org.
Yep. And so, like, it stands for Catholic Charities of West Tennessee, and you can volunteer, you can donate, you can just get involved.
And if people are outside of Memphis, they can still donate to you if they
want. Yes, they certainly can. They certainly can. That's right.
We accept foreign funds.
Yes, we do.
We joke about stuff like that, and it's so necessary. And sometimes there are people that that may be the start of their transformation, is just to at least say, well, you know, I can carve out a little bit of money or whatever. But really, I love the idea of, like, putting your whole heart and self into this thing. And I love knowing that the roots for the word alms, you know, essentially is pity and mercy. And just, it's a part of you that just extends out. And I love how you're talking about that almsgiving is essentially going outward.
Yeah.
And it's taking that prayer and fasting. So we can see those three acts of penitence that come to us every Lenten season. And we think, like, what am I going to do here? What am I going to do here? Let me fill in these or check these boxes. Mm-hmm. But and then again, just to recap, this, the idea that we're part of a transformation, not only of the world, but of ourselves.
Right. If I can, because you keep bringing it back to mercy and the root of alms, I find it really compelling that in Luke and Matthew, Jesus says in one, he says, "Go, you know, be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect."
Yeah.
And the other says, "Be merciful just like your heavenly Father." And I don't think it's, I think those are the same thing. That mercy is perfection, right? That mercy is the perfection that we're called to, right? And that, yeah, serving your neighbor, having mercy on it, that's where it's lived.
Ultimately, all of that ties to the concept of total self-gift, mm-hmm. right? We see that we've done shows on the sacrament of holy matrimony, holy orders, essentially all patterned after what Jesus did on the cross for all of us, mm-hmm. right? Total, he didn't hold anything back.
Right.
And so to be perfect like Jesus, to be perfect like God, really is to die to self. And then that really naturally means that, like, well, if I'm dying to myself, that means I'm giving myself
right.
to others in totality.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've never thought of it that way, but be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, and be merciful as he is. And that is perfection.
Right.
We are living perfection mm-hmm. when we give, when we donate, when we transform ourselves, when we allow ourselves to be transformed. When we give of ourselves, it's a really powerful way to live, and how beautiful. So we thank you so much, George Nixon, again, the executive director for the Catholic Charities of West Tennessee. And I want to give you that email address again. It's or not email address, but the website is CCWTN, Catholic Charities of West Tennessee, CCWTN.org. George, thank you so much for coming, visiting us, spending some time with us and talking about this idea and maybe helping folks have a little bit of a better, more productive, more transformative Lent.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely wonderful. And our Blessed Mother always calls us to service. She calls us to love others as she loves us. And certainly we answer that call. And we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.